Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside future Hall of Famer Vince Carter and NBA champ Richard Jefferson. Coming up, the All-Star fan vote gave Luka Doncic the edge over Damian Lillard for the final spot in the West backcourt. Disrespectful to Dame Dollar? We will discuss that. And a little bit later on, you'll see my conversation with Jimmy Butler heading into Saturday's finals rematch between the Heat and Lakers on ABC. Stick around to think what Jimmy has to say about his acting chops. It's a good conversation. It's Jimmy. It's going to be entertaining. You know that. All right, we begin with last night's potential finals preview between the Nets and Lakers. Brooklyn dominated a shorthanded Lakers team already missing Anthony Davis, had Dennis Schroeder scratched from the lineup because of COVID protocols not that long before the opening tip. The Nets were, of course, without KD themselves, but still had five players score double figures last night. With that win, the Nets are now 10-1 against teams with records over 500. Not so good with teams under 500. We'll get to that later. After the game, LeBron and Kyrie talked about seeing each other again down the road.
I mean, it's just next man up. And, you know, whoever number was called, we just got to pick each other up. Obviously, you know, missing, you know, already with missing AD and, you know, then our starting point guard and Dennis. A big blow for us, but you know, listen, they're missing a big piece of their team as well. We just didn't play, you know, to our capabilities tonight, but give them credit.
So we'll see them down the line again, and we look forward to it with a whole entire healthy Lakers team. That's what we really wanted. I know everybody wants that, and so I'm looking forward to the challenge and seeing them down the line.
Seeing them down the line. So Richard, how worried should the defending champs be about what we're seeing from the Nets right now, especially last night?
Well, I think the entire league should be worried, to tell you the truth. With all honesty, the entire league should be worried about what you're seeing from this Nets team. That means that when they are playing against a high-level team, they show up and play. When they play against a team that's not so much, they kind of their lack of defense shows up. But, you know, even Kyrie, there was an attitude about it. He's like, we'll see him down right. The line with all of the guys, that's what they say. That's what we wanted too. We didn't, basically he's saying is like, we didn't want any excuses, right? Yes, they were missing Anthony Davis. We're missing Kevin Durant, right? So it's like, we didn't want any excuses, but we're going to do the exact same thing when they have their full team and we have their full team.
Well, I'm going to take it a step farther. They should be worried, but they need to be worried about getting out of the West first. Because if that gentleman right there that you see, Anthony Davis, doesn't come back, they still need to secure a spot in the West to getting out beating Utah and or the Clippers. So I think, yes, you know, like RJ said, you definitely need to be worried about, everyone should be worried about the Nets right now, but the Lakers have to worry about the way the Utah Jazz are playing. And of course, you know, the Clippers have been wanting to get, you know, to be big brother in LA, as you know, for so long. So this is an opportunity for them to take advantage of it if there's no AD.
Yeah, I mean, look, when the season started, the feeling was a lot of people at the Lakers sort of ranked up here almost in their own group, right? Because they were the champions. Yeah. And they had probably the best offseason of any team. So they're champions and they got better. Well, the Clippers have gotten off to a pretty strong start this season, and the Jazz are on actual physical fire. I am convinced they have to carry a fire extinguisher with them at all times just so that they don't do damage to whatever court that they are on. So they are now moved up in the echelon and tiers as well. So before you look, as you say, Vince, across the pond over to the east part of the country, you want to get it right in the West, and that depends on Anthony Davis. Now, last night, Coach Frank Vogel said that they expect AD to be out for 4 weeks. So that's a lot longer than just, oh, we'll see again after the All-Star break. Vince, how conservative do you think the Lakers can afford to be with this timetable?
To be honest with you, I want them to be extremely conservative. We got to see what happened to KD, and it was unfortunate. And a lot of us, RJ, I'm sure you saw it as well. We all said, no, KD, we don't want you to play because you could potentially get hurt. And what happened? So I look at the same situation with AD. Take as long as you need, a month, 2 months. I say you take 2 months, 2.5 months, come back 2 weeks, a month left in the season, get yourself back in the playing shape, get back in rhythm, take the first round to kind of get yourself going. Well, that's if they're the number one seed, but you kind of, you know, you want to put yourself in that position there. You don't want to risk him getting hurt now Yep. And out for the rest of the season, then you put yourself in a different situation where you, like you said, you might not get out of the second round mm-hmm. or even get to the Western Conference Finals at that point.
I'm going to take it one step further to what Vince is saying. Ultimately, if Anthony Davis gets hurt or if he's not 100% healthy, you're going to lose him for two seasons. That means no championship this year. That means no championship next year. So you want to be extremely cautious, right? So I'm okay with them. Hey, you can come back with 2 weeks to go in the season because we don't want your calf Achilles at 80%, at 90%. We want it at 100%. And so if Anthony Davis is 100% and no compensation, if you're playing well, the Lakers are the favorite in the Western Conference. I think the Nets have started to question people on whether or not whether or not the Lakers should be the favorite overall in the NBA. Mm-hmm. I think the Nets probably have the biggest say in that so far.
Mm. Well, look, and for people questioning your math, Richard, you're basically saying if that happens, what happens to AD happened with what happened with Kevin Durant, right? He had the Achilles strain. Right. He was out for a little bit or calf strain. And there was always sort of what exactly are we calling it? And of course, it's all the same area of the leg, whatever you happen to call it. And then, of course, we saw him come back from the NBA Finals, ruptured the Achilles and then was out for an additional whole chunk of time. In his case, it was almost a year and a half because of the schedule.
Well, it's all connected.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all connected. So, yeah. So you're not going to rush him back. If he has that Achilles injury, you're not going to rush AD back like you did Kyrie. You're not going to rush him back the following season. Mm-hmm. Now you're prolonging it and you're just adding insult to injury. So like RJ said, it is probably a season and a half process from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So they do not want to get into that. And I think the whole league learned from the Kevin Durant example about a year and a half ago and everyone maybe being over cautious. So guys, we're going to talk All-Star later in the show because the starters were revealed. In the East, Kyrie, Bradley Beal, backcourt starters, KD, Giannis, Embiid, frontcourt starters, Kevin Durant earns team captain. In the West, LeBron is the captain. He's joined in the frontcourt by Jokic and Kawhi. And in the backcourt, we've got Steph Curry and Luka Doncic. Luka barely edging out Damian Lillard for that final starting spot. Now, the players and the media vote had Dame ahead of Doncic. So I just want to say that again. The players and the media voted for Lillard ahead of Luka, but the fan vote counts for 50%. So that is what propelled Luka into the starting lineup. Meanwhile, current NBA players and the media panel, they account for 25% each. So, Richard, are the fans disrespecting Dame or are they the ones that got it right?
No, it's hard. You're not disrespecting Dame by having... This is what I'm saying. You're not disrespecting Dame by having Luka. Luka's one of the stars in this league, without a doubt. So there is no lose-lose situation. There is no win-win. I will say this. These are the times where everybody was... The reason why we have a media vote and a player vote is because people were getting frustrated by what the fans were doing. This is a great situation here. Well, Dame Lillard has had a better season. The players see it, the media see it, and now the fans are like, again, Luka is one of the next superstars. He's 22 years old. Trae Young was a starter last year in the All-Star game. You want to see these young stars and young studs. But ultimately, is Dame more deserving? Yes. Yes, Dame is more deserving. But you're not losing anything by having Luka Doncic as a starter in the All-Star game. His numbers are that good. They're just not having a great season.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I was going to add, what you're saying. Portland is fourth in the West. Mm-hmm. Dallas is, 10th in the West. So, I mean, that matters to, I think, players. So if you think, Dame Lillard is playing the best basketball, you see the numbers are similar, but his team is playing better basketball. So he's putting up these numbers in a better situation, and they're fourth in the West. And you're saying Luka's playing Luka basketball, triple doubles and all, but they're 10th. And I say to this, the only unfair thing that for Dame that he has against him is Luka has a country of Serbia in his corner.
Yes.
You're not going to win that. And that reminds me, RJ, I'm going to take you back. Yao Ming. You're not going to lose it. Yao Ming has a country behind him in support. So, when it comes to giving 50% to the fans, and you're talking about China voting for Yao, you have no chance. Luka's a darling. They love him. He's playing great basketball in the States. So he has fans there.
Yep.
Plus, is his country.
Yeah,
his countrymen. So that's just how it's going to be until the rules change.
Look, we always say about some of this stuff like, it's not a popularity contest. This is a popularity contest. This is literally what it is. So, yes, I think there is something to the fact that the NBA lets All-Star be for and about the fans. We, the media, you guys, players, have votes and other things that come down the pike, whether it's All-NBA, whether it's for awards. This is actually just a popularity contest. So there is something to the fact that, hey, these guys are the most popular and they move in front.
Can I add one thing real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I hope the fans, maybe it's because they play in the Western Conference and more late night games, I hope more fans start paying attention to what Damian and the Trailblazers are doing, because CJ McCollum is out, Jusuf Nurkić is out, and he is lifting that team, not by himself, but he's doing fourth the heavy place. Lifting into fourth place, and that, to me, deserved the All-Star vote. Just my
and
opinion.
I just wanted to say this. I think, you know, the fans, the All-Star weekend is for the fans, like you said. Mm-hmm. But we as players, that is one of the goals as a player. You get bonuses and all that to be an All-Star. That's saying you're playing the best basketball and you deserve to be in the All-Star game or an All-Star starter. And like you said, Dame deserves to be a starter. Unfortunately, it's pretty much in the hands of the fans. That's just how it's been. There's been situations like that before. We've heard it. So it's just an unfortunate situation. But we get to kind of dictate who wins the real awards later on in the season. So I guess it depends on how you look at it. I mean, we want that kicker from the shoe company, from all of our other sponsors.
That's a great point.
Because that little extra million, $250, $500 means something.
Yes.
So that's why these guys are kind of – it just depends. 25,000, 50. My bad, RJ. I'm talking about for those guys, not for me, bro. Not for me. But I'm just saying that means something to these guys.
Richard's face is worth
chill, RJ.
1,000 words, really. And I can't follow that face up. So I'm just going to say, coming up, we'll get to Giannis and the Bucks. They've lost 5 straight. Will their struggles come? Will their struggles help them now come playoff time? We now welcome in NBA Insider. Dave, we wanted you earlier for the Lakers segment. Your camera is working against you. But I have to say, I'm thrilled you've joined us for this segment instead, because we're going to talk about trolling. And you covered Richard Jefferson and Kyrie, so you know all about trolling. Larry David is your favorite. So I think you are perfectly qualified for this segment, and I will tell everyone why. Top-rated casinos claims to know which NBA players are the most trolled on social media. They compiled roughly 3,000 tweets sent to various NBA players between October 2020 and January 2021. And each tweet was analyzed for positive, negative, or neutral words using the online analytics tool that they developed. Now, hat tip to Alex Kennedy for bringing this to our attention. Always rocking it over at Hoops Hype. According to the study, Steph Curry was the most trolled player, followed by Russell Westbrook, Joel Embiid, then LeBron, then KD, then Kyrie. So, Dave, as someone who I know studies internet responses more than any of my other friends, what do you think about the fact that Steph is at the top of that list and then the other guys are down further?
Well, Rachel, what I love about it is that both LeBron and Steph Curry are one of the top most hated players, and also one of the top most loved players if you analyze those tweets. It reminds me of that final Kobe commercial he had for Nike, where he had all the fans in the stands and there was the lovers and the haters. And to me, like, that's what brings more attention to our game, to the NBA. If you have these polarizing figures, they bring in all sorts of viewers. And whether they like them or dislike them, they can't keep their eyes off of them. And I think that's great for the NBA.
Oh, it's great for the NBA. It's great for all of us. It's great for these players, because the opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference. I'd rather you love me or hate me, but don't care about me. I'd rather you have a negative or a positive opinion about me, but have an opinion. Tell everybody your opinion. Tell them you love me. Tell them you hate me, but just don't say you don't care, because then it becomes a problem.
Spoken like RJ can do it. Mm-hmm. I tell you, these guys have earned it, you know, because every one of these guys, particularly Steph and LeBron, has killed their team. And, you know, that's when you kind of hate them.
Right.
It's like for Kobe for so many years. We've seen Yeah, we saw for many years people hated Kobe, and then when he retired, the world adored him, mm-hmm. And so on and so forth. So it's kind of those things like, you're killing my team, I don't like you.
But Vince, you are so beloved by NBA fans. I kind of picture you never getting trolled on the internet.
You never played against Toronto in the postseason. You never get to play against Toronto in the postseason.
Tell it, RJ.
Our guy Vince, man. Hey, Vince, you know we had your back, but look, let's say this. Vince has come a long way, man. He went from one of the most hated players in the league, like when he came to Jersey, and then he just shut everybody up with his performance after that. So part of it, you can use it as your motivation, and I saw Vince do that very well.
Well, we just showed the clip from when we were all together in Jurassic Park. By now, I think it was a year and a half ago. I can't keep track of what the calendar is anymore. Yeah. But the way the Toronto fans embraced and loved you in that moment, Vince, it was pouring rain. It was nighttime. It was crazy. And the love for you, people were going nuts. People screaming and screaming your name. I thought it was really, really beautiful.
Rachel, that energy, I tell you, that energy that night felt like the energy in the arena at the dunk contest.
Yes, exactly.
For me.
Wow.
Exactly.
Really,
and that is a high bar. Dave, can you just take a minute to explain how Richard Jefferson trolls on social media? I don't trust him to tell it. I trust you.
I mean, Richard's just looking for any online fight he can pick and try to get in the mix, because if he's in the mix, people are talking about Richard Jefferson, and that's good for Richard Jefferson business. I get it. I will admit here, Vince, I have to apologize to you. I used to be kind of reckless on Twitter, and so this had to be either the first year you were in Phoenix or the first year you were in Dallas, and you switched your jersey number to 25 rather
25.
Than 15, and I'm pretty sure I put out a tweet that was Richard Jefferson wearing 25 because it's his whole jersey number plus the 10 pounds he gained in the offseason. So I apologize right now. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I'm pretty sure I deleted the tweet, but since we're having this open discourse and you allow me on the show, I have to say that's my bad, Vince.
Let me say this, though. This is the thing about my trolling.
Oh, I can't wait for
All I do is literally in the comment section just start an opportunity for people to discuss, and then I leave, and then I'm out. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I drop a bomb, and then I leave, and then I might come back and check and be like, ooh, people are not happy about that, and I just keep it moving. The trolling is when you're constantly, constantly do it. I just drop one in the comment section, then I dip.
Richard basically spreads kerosene across the floor, lights the match over his shoulder, and walks out the door.
Yeah, and watch every burn. What about when you were a player and fans were in the stands and you were trolling?
First of all, there might have been a time where a Miami fan or many fan, one fan member, I remember when Miami was trash and I missed a shot and the fan was like, why don't you stay out of the gym? Why don't you stay out of the club? And I was like, tell your girl to stop calling me and I will. The whole crowd loses it. This was back in our single younger days, Vince. Mm-hmm. But look, man, I love crowd interactions. I love fan interactions, and they're not always positive. Sometimes, you know, you get a courtside Karen and you just got to address it.
Just got to. There we go. Well, guys, you're all sticking with us. Later in the show, we're going to discuss who LeBron should pick with the first pick in the All-Star Draft. He's got it again. Also coming up next, I go one-on-one with Jimmy Butler on the Heat's slow start, why he loves playing against LeBron, despite that he acknowledges he has a losing record to him. That's all to come. Stick with us. So tomorrow's finals rematch will answer some important questions, right, about both teams. Can the Lakers win without Anthony Davis? Can the Heat overcome their own injuries, dealing with COVID after effects to turn their season around? I sat down with Miami's Jimmy Butler to discuss these questions and a whole bunch of other stuff, including his acting. Here's what he had to say.
Miami, what a drought. They've scored on just three of their last 25 possessions.
I don't think anybody feels good about this, you know, right now.
Pump fake and drive outside. His pass engulfed. He's got hardwood in front.
We know what we're capable of. We know what we got to do.
Jimmy, how would you describe the way the Miami Heat are playing basketball right now?
Terrible. Terrible. Just terrible. Not the way that we say we want to play. Not the way we're supposed to be playing, but it's okay because we will turn it around. And like the saying says, better late than never.
Okay, so can you fill in the blank for me at the end of this sentence? The Miami Heat get back to the NBA Finals if?
we win some games. If we win some games.
That's cheating. That answer is cheating. You know what I'm asking.
You said finish this sentence, so I finished the sentence. We know when adversity hits, we're supposed to be better. We're supposed to get better and bring everybody up with us. Maybe here and there we've forgotten that. We will get back to it, though. I promise you that. We will.
The bubble was so strange. It did attract the attention of so many non-basketball fans. You were so isolated inside of it. But when you got out, was there any particular meeting with a stranger or any sort of incident that you were like, oh, I'm a lot more famous than I was when I went into the bubble?
You know, the craziest thing was it was all about Big Face Coffee. Everybody wanted to know about Big Face Coffee. I would go into the local coffee shops around Miami. Everybody would ask. So Big Face is the thing of the future.
They were checking out the competition, Jimmy. They just wanted to know what your track was.
It's getting there.
I will say, though, just when you think you're famous, Jimmy, you were just a clue on Jeopardy.
And the final clue, Hoops for 1,000. Recently, this baller barista launched Big Face Coffee and turned his new team, the Miami Heat, into a title contender. We were looking for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I think he should have done a better job of describing me. And $1,000, that's not enough. They were probably like, we need like $2,000. That'd be, you know, well worth knowing who that individual is. I wouldn't answer who I was for $1,000 just to let you know.
Of course, the biggest challenge for you this year, for everybody, has been COVID. Mm-hmm. Your team was hit really hard. You were out for 10 games with coronavirus. The reports were that you lost 12 pounds in 1 week. What was it like for you? How scary was it?
Yeah, it's scary. Don't believe reports of me losing 12 pounds either, because that's not the case. I had a light headache and I felt like I was ready to go. I wanted to compete. Obviously, you cannot do that. But it didn't hit me that hard.
Let's talk about a few things that have happened since you've been back. You guys played the Knicks, and look, you hit the deck at the end of that game. You stayed down. You were looking for the flagrant foul. And then you had the mischievous grin, Jimmy. You peeked out. You couldn't help yourself. How do you rate your acting job now that you've had a chance to look at it?
Is 10 the highest?
Yes, 10's the highest.
10?
Come on.
That is elite.
You broke
acting.
Character.
It doesn't matter that I broke character, but everybody was like, something's wrong.
Something's wrong, all right.
Elite. Something's wrong with my mental. But everybody was like, oh my gosh. Everybody, Spo, he did one of those gasps. So I know I got a career in acting coming soon.
That was not actually your first acting gig. You are from Texas. Everyone knows you're a country music fan. I don't know if people know you were actually in a Luke Bryan video, though. I would like you to rate your performance there as well.
Is 10 the highest?
Yeah, 10 also the highest.
10. I'm a video vixen. Come on. You got to understand this type of stuff. You put me in a music video, and I think I had braids in the video at the time, too. I mean, I was a 10 in the video, given a 10. A dime in a music video acting as a 10. That's crazy.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers.
We're about to see a finals rematch, Heat versus Lakers. When you look back at the finals, are you more happy that you were there or mad that you didn't win?
Definitely mad that I didn't win. Like, who wants to get that close to something and lose? It hurts. It really makes you mad, but we're a different team. We want to show that we can compete, so that would be a good start. Beat the guys that sent you home.
LA is missing one of its big guns right now. Anthony Davis is hurt. What do you expect the game to be like?
The same. I mean, they still got LeBron. They still got some really good players. I'm taking our chances like I do every night. It doesn't always end up in a win in our favor, but going into it, I like our chances. I really do. So coming up, I'm taking the Heat.
I'm thinking about all the games I've seen you play LeBron over the years, all the different uniforms you've both been in, matchup after matchup. You love being out there against him. You can always tell. Why do you relish those so much?
I want to beat him. He always beats me when it matters. We all know that. But I really enjoy going up against the best, just to show that, you know, I'm up there somewhere around that level. I mean, if you can compete with him, you can compete with anybody.
Are we going to see that mischievous grin again on Saturday night?
Yes, you will, and in the playoffs later on this year.
I can book it?
Book it.
never at a loss for words. Thank you so much to Jimmy for sitting down. Now, Jimmy says you can book it for the Heat in the playoffs, but as we talked about, their play not quite getting there them there yet. They have lost 3 out of 4, currently sit outside not just the East playoffs, but really in danger of not even making a play-in game. They're in 11th place right now. Richard, what do you think is going wrong for them?
I think there's a little bit of a hangover. I think some of their young players need to step up their game. Obviously, not having Jimmy for that extended period of time, lack of practice time, the short layoff. Sometimes all of these things go into a pot, because when a team is struggling, especially one like this, it's never one thing, and sometimes it's not two things. But do I believe that the Miami Heat will make the postseason? Yes, I do. Where they fall in that rank, I'm not sure, but they're a 5-game winning streak, winning 7 of 9, and then they'll be back in that playoff mix.
Well, I'm gonna say this. You guys were in the bubble. I didn't have the pleasure to be in the bubble. I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, a lot was said about guys who played well in the bubble and felt like, hey, it was secure and enclosed and didn't have to worry about the outside world. It's a little different now, and I think you're starting to see a little bit of that as well. But I look at the second part of the season for a lot of these veteran teams, like a Miami Heat. They're getting their guys back. They have a chance to get healthy, and they can make a run. They're not too far. They're 2.5 games out of, what, 8th place, if I'm not mistaken. So they have a chance, and I believe in Jimmy Butler, and he's already said book it, so I'm booking it right with him.
Well, they have a chance, especially in an Eastern Conference where there are still only 4 teams in the East that are even above 500. Every time I look at the standings in the morning, I do a double take. Dave, I want to look at it from a Lakers perspective. Even without Anthony Davis, how do you think LeBron and the Lakers can best leverage the Heat's current weaknesses when they meet up tomorrow night?
Well, Rachel, you go back to the finals. After the Lakers lost that epic Game 5, there was an intense film session where Rajon Rondo grabbed everybody's attention. Of course, he's on the Hawks now, but a lot of those guys were in that film session. He said, we got to get the ball out of Jimmy Butler's hands and let the rest of the team beat us. And they can still try to replicate that game plan. And this is the type of game where the Lakers just want to feel good about themselves again. You know, for the last week and a half, they've been scuffling along. They had overtime games against lesser opponents. They had the Anthony Davis injury. They've lost 2 out of the last 3 games. Dennis Schroeder's status is up in the air, but they're playing at home. Guys like Alex Caruso, Kyle Kuzma will look across at their opponent and say, man, the last time I saw these guys, it was the greatest day of my life when I won an NBA championship. Let's try to get some of that feeling back and feel good about a Saturday night game, primetime ABC, go back home to my own bed a winner. I think it could be a get right type of night for the Lakers.
Excellent. Well, Dave, I will see you there in the arena. Thanks so much for joining us today. Everyone else, stick with us. Coming up, we're going to talk about who LeBron should select with the first pick of the All-Star Draft. Now, AD won't be playing, so that one's out. And now there's a lot of speculation on what he might do. First, though, here's what The Jump recommends for this weekend.
Okay. Being able to go out here and posterize somebody just to take the life out of them means everything.
Kind of like feel, you know, your body tingling, your feet tingling.
Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life!
You feel superhuman. It's a shot of life.
You gotta rely on your courage just to go into the belly of the beast.
I really don't give a damn who is out there on the court. Whoever gets down here below this rim is getting dunked on.
That's a poster!
LeBron James, Kevin Durant named the captains for next month's NBA All-Star Game. They will pick their respective teams from the remaining 22 All-Stars on March 4th. So, Richard, we only know the starters so far, but you got to assume the pool of starters is from which he would draft number one. Who would you take number one overall if you were LeBron?
You can't take KD. Kyrie Irving.
Oh.
Kyrie Irving.
Why?
Oh, that's you. Okay. You talking about you. Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah. That's fair. LeBron
can't
James
take AD,
is not picking Kyrie Irving.
Can't take Kevin Durant. Just
LeBron James
Kyrie.
Is not taking. He's taking that guy right there who wears number 30 for the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, that would be
Steph Curry.
I see that because
that's
I imagine that Kyrie and KD are going to go against each other. Are going to go together. So I think I imagine right. That you're probably going to have Steph. I don't know. Take Giannis. Because he's got to take Giannis, Dax.
Stop.
He's got to take Giannis. He's going to take Giannis because, look, Giannis got beef with James Harden. Steph and Kyrie been battling against each other. Obviously, LeBron and KD. Then it's going to go – he's going to take Dame. Then KD's going to take Luka. Then he's going to take Luka. No, he's going to take Luka. So I'm telling you, I can see it already. It's going to be an actual very competitive game.
Because you got guys with beef on both sides.
His first pick is going to be Steph Curry. That man is on fire right now. Like I said, he can't pick KD. So I'm thinking Steph. And other than that, he might pick his boy Luka, you know, because he's an admirer of his and, you know, he's a pretty darn good player. But, you know, there's some about that because so you think if you take Luka, how awkward would it be to take Luka and then later on get Dame? So
no, he's like, taking Dame. He's taking Dame.
And
then KD's going to take Luka.
Well, look,
because so Dame's got.
I was going to say, Dame's not officially in the pool yet, but we all know he's going to be an all-star.
Definitely an all-star.
Exactly. There you go. Plus, if he doesn't take Kyrie, KD kind of has to take Kyrie first, right? Just teammate politics?
I think he will regardless.
Okay.
But yes, he kind of has to.
So if he chooses anyone except Kyrie, he kind of gets two picks in a row if you're LeBron, right?
Yeah. Well, ultimately, it's going to be so fun to watch a game that nobody wants to be at. So this is going to be exciting for everyone.
Right.
But do you guys think, look, you have all these guys on the court together, and it's hard to tell, right? Because we've had all-star games that are not competitive at all, and all these guys on the court together has meant nothing. But with the new Elon ending that we experimented with last year, it got super competitive. And if something does tip these guys over into that competitive vibe, it could get still, I know it's not going to be like a regular All-Star game, but Richard, you don't think there's any chance that it could get kind of, you know, real there?
Oh, no. It's 100% there. One of the things that, you know, Vince, you know this. Hey, we're here. We might as well win. So, like, that's going to be the approach for most
of
these
guys.
And that's what's going to happen. Once the ball is tipped and guys are running down the court, you know, you go through whatever. I don't want to be here for a quarter. After a while, it's kind of like, all right, you know,
we're here.
Somebody's
going to
shoot a three in their face and it's going to take off.
Now, since they were doing everything just all in one night, the 3-point contest, the dunk contest,
that's
and
crazy.
The game all together, I had been lobbying for them to actually pick the teams right there on the court. Once again, shot down. All my good ideas just shot down by this league. We'll get to more next.
Hey,
we'll
got a lot going on already.
We do. They, okay, fine. That's a valid point. Fine. Up next, Richard and Vince are going to tell you who they trust more, the Jazz or the Clippers. It's crunch time here on The Jump. We've got a great nightcap of our NBA doubleheader tonight on ESPN. Listen to those smooth Jazz tones. The 24-5 Jazz taking on the 21-9 Clippers here in LA. Richard, which team do you trust more this season?
Oh, that's so tough. Right now, I trust the Jazz because everything's rolling for them. But come the postseason, it's tough. It is way
well
too
done.
Tough.
Well
way
done. I mean,
tough.
You're playing the Jazz music. You're playing the Jazz music for a reason. The Jazz right now playing the best basketball, 20 out of 21 games won. Insane right now. Like you said, Rachel, on fire. It's just, I don't know about the playoffs right now. You know, regular season, give me the Jazz.
There we go. I didn't
the Jazz, the Jazz season hasn't started yet. Their season hasn't started yet. Their season doesn't start till they have an injury, multiple guys out. That's the typical. Things have been going fairly smoothly for this group thus far.
I don't know. As long as they play
smooth
that music for the rest of the show, I'm happy. It's time for our League Pass game of the night. Our producer selected Thunder Bucks at 8 o'clock Eastern. Milwaukee dropping its fifth straight game last night after losing to the Raptors. Now, after the game, Giannis spoke about their struggles and explained why he is not hitting the panic button right now.
To be honest, I kind of feels good. I like facing adversity. I like being down, being knocked down, you know, because that's the only way you improve. When things always go well and go your way, you kind of not know the other side. You know, you don't feel it, you know. So now, like, we feel the other side. We feel being down. We can feel it losing 5 minutes or how it feels. You know, we know how it feels when our spirit is not there. We know how it feels when we're not playing well, when we're not making shots. And when things start going well, you do not want to come back here. You don't want to come in this state of mind that we are right now. You want to try to do whatever it takes to avoid it, right? And I think it's going to, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but I think it's going to help us as a team to be mentally tougher, to bring it where we have to bring it, and it's going to make us better.
I mean, a lot of that made sense. Vince, do you buy it?
Right now, maybe so. Like this part of the season, yes. After the All-Star break, you want to play better basketball. So if you're playing this bad basketball on the second part of the season, then you have something to worry about.
There you go. All right, we're out of time this week. Richard, they can hear you on TV tonight. Richard's going to be calling games. Smooth Jazz is back. Richard will be on TV tonight. Just keep your TV locked on this station for the next, like, 10 hours, and you'll hear more Richard Jefferson